And welcome to the Fred Report technical market call for May 9th, 2019. I'm sorry we are not doing a live call. I unfortunately have emergency dental surgery, which shouldn't be terrible, but can only take place during the time of the call. Probably the biggest question we've had that I want to address here in some detail is the idea from Mr. Gundlach from Double Line, which I usually call Double Wide, that we're in a bear market. And again, you know, the reason that Gundlach is saying this is because the New York Composite, or NYA, which is a broad-based index, has not made new highs since January of really 2018. And the New York Composite isn't a great chart, and it's a chart that we've used on occasion. But it's only one chart. I don't see how we can say that. And, you know, I can do some cherry picking too. For example, the chart of the value line arithmetic, I think, is actually probably the most representative chart of the stock market because it includes stocks from the New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ market, and the American Stock Exchange as well. So it's all stocks. There are no real closed-end funds. It's all common stocks. Whereas the New York Composite is everything traded on the New York Composite, which does have closed-end funds. And in fact, in August, September, October of last year, the value line arithmetic actually made new highs. It's rallied back and looks a bit like the New York Composite does now in terms of failure to make a new high, but that's because of small cap and some of the other index and stocks in there that are doing less well now. This is a big cap rally. Another thing I could say is if people don't like the value line arithmetic, which is the best way to calculate the value line index, in our opinion, you can always look at the old value line geometric index, which also made new highs on the rally in August, September. It didn't make as good a set of highs as the value line arithmetic did, but it did make those. The real point is, you know, you can't just use one index, and that's why we have our trend, major trend system that we use here at the Fred Report, which consists of trends on four indexes. And it's relatively, you know, at least in its basic form, you know, it's very simple. Are the moving averages positive on one index, two indexes, three indexes, or four indexes? Now, there's more built into it than that, but even that methodology has done quite well here. And that is what we call a Desmond or neutral at 2 and 2. On the big long-term monthly charts. So, you know, hanging your hat on one index is a real problem. And I will point out something to people which is interesting here on this index. If you just look at the S&P and you look at the 5 and 20 period moving average, what you'll see through that whole drop in December was that it never went negative, and it's still positive. So, in other words, if you were a seller at the bottom in December because we were, quote-unquote, in a bear market, that index alone basically kept you in the market. The NASDAQ Composite, which is the one of the other indexes, also never went positive during that time. IJR, the S&P Small Cap 600, did go negative, and so did the transports. But you have four indexes there. You have some very basic trend-following methods. And again, there are other components to my major trend system. That's just one of them. But even then, you're looking at four disparate indexes. I could make a real case, for example, that we've been in a bear market since 1974. Now, why do I say we've been in a bear market since 1974? Well, it's very simple. If you look at the old NASDAQ advanced decline line that we used to publish at Merrill Lynch, it made its all-time high the day they started tracking the advanced decline line. And the reason for that is the NASDAQ composite. We're not talking about the QQQs or the NASDAQ 100. We are talking about the NASDAQ composite. That index, for many, many years, and even now, is where stocks go to die. In other words, if you're delisted off of the New York Stock Exchange and the American, the last place you go before you go to zero is the NASDAQ composite, and that NASDAQ composite advanced decline line reflects all of those stocks going to zero and disappearing. But anyone listening to this call that actually believes that is crazier than I am generally, okay? In other words, that's not true. Stocks have been going up since 1974. So we like our method. We note that Mr. Gundlach has not been particularly correct. According to some posts on Seeking Alpha, he hasn't been correct in a long, long time. We have a fairly concrete method of determining whether we're in a bull or a bear market, and it's based on that major trend system, which consists at least in part of those moving averages, and not some nonsense like, well, we're down 20%, it's a bear market, but we're down 19, so it's still a bull market. I mean, come on. You need, you know, as a technician, you have to have at least some basis in science. And so our response is Gundlach is wrong in that regard. We prefer the method we use because it uses four longstanding indexes and doesn't cherry pick dates or times. It goes with the indicators. So, you know, we are sticking with our neutral forecast. We think that the market is still basically okay here. And, you know, we're not flipping out until we go through those numbers on the S&P that we published in the midweek, which I'm not looking at right now, which I believe was around 286 and change. You know, we go through that, we could see a steeper correction. But looking at these indexes, we basically held 285, 286 today, and we held it yesterday. Let me look and just be sure, but yeah, we've basically been holding those. 285.81 is awfully close to 286, and again, none of this is, none of this is rocket science. It's not going to go exactly to the number that we say. And the other thing that's real important, again, we follow the indicators. If you look at the daily stochastic on the S&P 500, we got a sell signal a few days, the market's coming down, and we are basically looking for that to get close to 20 and recycle. When it does, this correction has a good chance of being over based on the market action that we've seen. Let's get into a couple of other markets very quickly. Treasuries. TLT is still trading up near that 124, 125 resistance. It's down a little bit. We note that the daily stochastic is now elevated above 81 and could start to turn down at any time. We also note that the monthly stochastic, which gave us this buy signal on TLT, is currently overbought in the 87 area. When it turns down, unless we blow through on TLT 130, we've got a pattern of lower highs and lower lows and another sell signal on the monthly stochastic. The one that we got last was in 2016, perfect monthly sell signal, took that market from 144 to 112. If you take that 124 and subtract 144 to 112, I'm going to try to do that number here. That is approximately 32 points. 32 points from 124 would put us at 95 to 100, which is exactly where we thought this would go to end the correction in bonds. So we're sticking with that. We will say the accumulation models say that bonds are going to be a little bit more stable. We're certainly not dissatisfied with that. But the risk is when that monthly stochastic turns down, we've got some problems. Let's talk about gold for a minute. Gold is holding the 120 area support. We've got a monthly stochastic buy. We think it's going to bounce here. We want to see the accumulation model do a little bit better, but we think that 126 could be challenged again. And the gold stocks are also holding support. We're going to write about those in the midweek. We are a little bit concerned that oil is going to come down into June. We note that the daily stochastic on both USO and our main perpetual contract is down and starting to try to recycle. But, you know, that can still be a process that takes a couple of weeks, which would put us in June. And the weekly stochastic is still in sell mode. That could come down a little bit as well before we get a buy signal on that. So what that means to us is you want to be looking at DBC and PDBC as they come down. As we mentioned, we would love to see DBC around 15, down 74 cents from here, not a huge move. And we would look to buy it between 15 and 15.20. And we spoke to one of our clients today, and we mentioned that everyone should be aware of my really big problem, which is over-precision. The point is we think that the indicators are suggesting on a longer-term basis that commodities should be strong into the end of the year. We continue to have concerns that the broad market and the economy are actually going to be a little bit stronger than people expect. That could lead to a rate rise. And when we look at the monthly stochastic on DBC, it is in buy mode, suggesting that if you were to buy some here and it fell 50 cents or so, that you're probably going to end up doing pretty well in the second half of the year. In terms of international, obviously China we're going to discuss in the weekly. EEM is down. We have felt for a while that that should bounce off 45 and head for 42 to 40. This is happening. And we're still concerned with Europe and the European financials. We note that Deutsche Bank continues to trade very badly. We are concerned about new lows on Deutsche Bank, which would put the stock probably below 762, which we are perilously close to. Below 762 would be new uncharted territory for Deutsche Bank on the downside. And one of the things I learned at Merrill Lynch from Rich Bernstein and Cheryl Rowan is that if your big financials aren't doing well, your market is in danger of having trouble. That should be about it. I know we said a lot on this call. I will be around in the afternoon. Please feel free to send questions to us if you have them. And thank you for your forbearance this week. We really wanted to do a live call, but the only time I could get this stuff done was tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. So have a great weekend. Have a great day of trading. We'll talk to everybody relatively soon.